That's really cool. That makes it like that's. I can see why that's like a benefit, giving people a voice and stuff.
And also, you probably get really crazy people as well. Yeah, but it's entertaining.
You get creepy, crazy people as well. So
yeah,
well, that's a different kind of deal. Then, all right, let's try this out.
It'll work. What I built here. I see. Please, like, cool if you could speak, like, top of it. Each one has one.
Cool.
I once learned you shouldn't give the microphone away to other people, but that's kind of. So don't go crazy on me, please.
Okay.
If you would introduce yourselves real quick, that would be mighty kind.
My name's Jim. I play guitar and lead sing in Big Skies.
I'm Jack and I play guitar.
And you both are pretty tired. You've been awake now for 50 minutes, yeah. I guess.
Oh, you the same. That was terrible.
Why is that?
We had rock and roll bingo last night. We put on this night at White Trash, and it just was really, really, really busy for some reason. So yeah, it just kind of kept on going.
Okay.
So yeah.
Is that how you, like, I read on the website that you came to Berlin for some weird reason a while ago, and then is that how you survived without anything else, or?
The bingo?
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, we all three of us shared a room at the beginning, so we had, like, minimal rent and all that kind of stuff. So when we first got here, we didn't really have, you know, so much to spend, but we didn't have so much to spend on either. So, like, we did the bingo fairly soon, I think, like, within the first month.
It's also an excuse to go out and have a party twice a month, you know?
Yeah.
It's work, but it's also, you know, socializing, meeting people, and to do that best, you need to have a few beers, you know, just to loosen up.
Huh. So, like, when you were three people in one room, how come you didn't kill each other after 2 months and then started to make each their own music?
Well, the thing is that we were all in one room, and then we had another room that had a flatmate in that lived with us. And the first guy, he left after 2 weeks. The last time I saw him was before Christmas, and he came in his pants shouting at us. And then he never came back after Christmas. And then a replacement girl came to fill the room, and she didn't drink, didn't smoke, had allergies to most foods. So she just basically lived off fruit, and she lasted about 5 days. And after that, no one could come to have the other room. So we actually had two rooms after 2 months. So that way, if anyone had their girlfriend visiting, they could have the spare room and the other two still bunked up.
I wonder what that spare room looked like after a few months.
I mean, it was all right.
You know, you got to keep it clean if you're all living in such close proximity.
At first, when we were first there, there was a double bed, and the bassist had that. That was in the corner of the room, and then there was a bunk bed, and Jack was on the top, and then underneath there was a space, and I had a fold-out camp bed. And like a little sheet that I'd pinned up on the bunk bed, so I had like a little box basically where I'd go to bed every night. It was a little strange, but.
And we always said goodnight to each other as well, you know. It's like everyone's in bed. Night, goodnight.
No stories, no kisses, just goodnight.
Yeah.
So, were you already making music together at that time?
There was just a couple of guitars that the guy had left in his room, and we didn't necessarily come over to make the music, but we had a lot of time, and it was a really like cold long winter, so we were kind of indoors this whole time. So we picked up these guitars, and that's when we actually started, like, me and Jack started writing music then together, because we'd never done it before together.
Okay.
We'd both been in different bands and stuff, so it was nice. We just kind of, you know, it was really relaxed, and we could just take our time, and there was no pressure. And then we started just recording stuff on our own, you know, on a computer, and started tracking things and experimenting with different sounds. And that's basically how it all kind of started, really. Just
We were both quite motivated as well. So, you know, before I've worked with musical things, and everything's been a bit slow, but Jim and I are both very proactive. So once we started working, it kind of sort of progressed very fast.
So the only reason you're now a band is because some dude left two guitars when he flew, like, flat out the
apartment. I mean, we knew that I've always wanted to, like, have a musical project with Jim, but the reason we started was just, you know, that we were here and we're in such a confined space that it was, you know, there's no TV to watch, there was bad internet at the flat, so there were no other distractions, you know, and there was no, like, oh, we have to meet up at someone's house to play music, you know, we were already close together, and so, yeah, it was...
even with the acoustic guitars, that we still managed to annoy the neighbours somehow. Like, because we'd be so excited about writing a new song, and like we'd come back from being out of like, oh, I've got this idea for this and these lyrics, and then we'd try it even with the acoustic guitars. Then you get a knock on the door at like 5 in the morning, and someone from downstairs like, turn those guitars down.
The classic way of people complaining though is that you're doing it, you're playing music, and then you hear a noise, and you're like, what was that? Carry on playing, and then you hear the noise again, and it's someone like hitting the ceiling. Yeah, like surely
so from a Dickens novel.
Yeah,
they're walking stick.
Oh, those pesky English boys playing their guitars. But you just wonder why people just come to the door and say sorry, you're being really loud. It's the people that, and they must be getting so angry, you know, like in there, and be like, oh.
Yeah. It would be even more work to go up the stairs.
Yeah. But,
like now you play something between like pop and psychedelic rock and. What makes it psychedelic to you?
It's got like this kind of dreamy, it's got a bit of a dreamy kind of spacey feel to it. I think that's the kind of psychedelic vibe. Like it's kind of, as much as it is punky as well, it has this kind of laid back feel, I think, that we got from like listening to like the West Coast kind of music. Okay. From America, and it's got like a bit of shoegaze, a bit of like dreamy aspect to it. So I think that's where the psychedelic comes from.
The intention initially was to try and make the music itself as kind of like as beautiful as possible, you know, a little bit melancholic where you kind of feel so sad that it's almost happy, if you know what I mean. That kind of like really like empowering kind of feeling. So, and then, yeah, and that's kind of sort of morphed into the kind of more psychedelic things.
Okay. Was that clear to you from the beginning that you wanted to make that kind of music, or did it just develop into it?
Yeah, I definitely wanted to, because I just sort of discovered all these bands before I moved here, you know, and I really, really like that kind of sound. So I was definitely keen to get it in, but
we didn't ever set out to do something. There was never like, we need to set this up and we should be in this direction. It was very kind of like natural. But I think it was almost like Jack said, we'd been listening to a lot of this kind of style and a lot of stuff, like older stuff as well. And I think that just kind of naturally comes out, you know, when you're kind of playing together and you like the same music and you vibe from each other, then and it kind of naturally progresses. We didn't call it psychedelic Britpop.
No.
Ages, you know, we didn't know what it was.
Especially if you're recording on computers as well and just demoing, you know, you've got the ability to make all these loops and things, you know, just through. We used to plug like a vocal mic into a delay pedal, and then Jim would just sort of sing into it, and we'd tweak the buttons until we had like a loop, and then just put that under the whole track, you know, so there's like a tone underneath. So it's from having the ability to just fiddle around, you know, that kind of thing developed.
That's pretty neat. Now there's an EP coming out.
Yeah, it comes out 23rd of August, which is tomorrow.
Yeah,
it's tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know
how this goes out. Could be yesterday.
would be like 2 weeks ago.
It came out 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And it's going really well.
Really well.
It's sold out.
Is that
digitally?
that'd be pretty awesome if it sold out digitally. What does it mean to you that EP? Is that your first stepping stone, or would you already call yourself kind of established in a way, or
no? This is our first milestone.
Yeah, definitely. It's like box ticked, because you always think, because you've been around the songs and around the band for so long, you think, oh, we were at this level, but you realize that the majority of people, this is their first impression of the project. So this is definitely the first,
and we're really, really proud of it. Like, I'm so proud of it. I think it's a really good piece of music. But I would say that, but it was a really good like recording experience. We had our, like, one of our best friends came over from London and he was producing it, and we had a great studio that was that we had so much freedom in, that our friend that we met here kind of gave us access to, and it was just, the whole experience was really fun. And that was the first recording we've done as a band, so I think, you know.
Yeah, we had the very studio excited for 24 hours a day, so we could start we started at like 2 or 3 in the afternoon instead of, you know, getting in at 9 when everyone's tired and or still asleep. And then we'd still record through till like 4 or 5 in the morning, we'd record till about 2, and then the tubes would all be closed, so we're like, well, we have to wait for first tube, so might as well just work through till 5.
The thing with 9 a.m. is like just the rhythm thing, right? Well, whatever.
Yeah.
What, like, what role did the city of Berlin kind of play in the sound? Maybe did it influence your sound, or?
I think it definitely did, really, because it's like, this is the first time we've had the kind of freedom and space and time to make the music. You know, like, we come from London, and that was just so intensely busy and fast paced that you didn't really have a chance to sit there and appreciate what you were doing or even kind of think about it. You were always keeping up.
Okay.
You know, it was just intense. So I think, but like, it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for us being in Berlin. That's like for sure, and it's a great city. I think the winter we moved in here, like, was it in like 2010 or like November 2010, and it was so cold, and I'd never experienced anything like that. And like, I think I arrived in the evening on a Tuesday, and I didn't see the daylight for about 2 or 3 months. You know, like, that was it then.
It's disturbing when you go to bed and it's dark, and wake up when it's dark. Yeah, you know,
you don't have that in London.
No, it's not the same. I mean, it's been a little. It's kind of actually been a little bit colder the past couple of years, but Berlin was like a proper shock. You know, and I think that kind of played into the whole aspect of the band and everything else, because, like, you know, the weather and the cold and having to kind of stick together a bit, you know. When we moved in, we didn't really know many people, but also you can't go out and make friends when it's minus 18 degrees. So you're kind of as a unit, like, fighting against this. So that was cool. I think that just played into it all as well.
Yeah, it just created constrictions and parameters to work within, you know. The fact that we had limited equipment to begin with, or that we, you know, had limited opportunities to do anything. You know, it was so cold that you just didn't go outside, so it really kind of intensified the writing process initially.
Okay. Would you think the whole band, everything would be different if you had come, I don't know, in the summer?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that we might not have sort of struck that bond between the three of us initially, which is sort of the foundation of what the whole band's built on. You know, that initially it was me, Adam and Jim that had this really strong connection, and that was from, you know, sort of having to struggle through being in a new city, and then also the sort of the situations the new city threw up.
Okay, what would you say, what helped you make the jump out of the masses of Berlin bands? Like, I mean, you got your EP out, you played two weeks ago at the Radio 1 festival, you played in the Admiralspalast a while ago. Like, what do you think, what helped you do that?
We have a really good team of people that work with us. When it was Jim, Adam, and I, and we found our manager, and she's been like instrumental in sort of making everything happen. And we found she helped us get a new drummer, and he's sort of taken our music, you know, to the next level. He's a fantastic musician, you know, really classically trained jazz musician. So he's really brought, you know, these things and taught us. So that musically, I think that really helped us.
Hmm. Would you say, like, how did you experience Berlin maybe compared to London for young bands?
Young and upcoming, or it's so, everyone here is so much, it's got such an open mind here, you know. In London, it's a real snobbery around new bands, to the point where you turn up at a venue as like a new band and you're almost like ashamed to be there, because you think that everyone thinks, oh, here's, you know, another band, you know. And it's this really, really judgmental.
It seems to just be, yeah, more like there's a kind of a bigger respect, I think, for it here, maybe.
I think that's sort of the same with just Berlin as a whole. People here are very open-minded and supportive and, you know, interested in things. Whereas in London, I always get the sense that people think they've seen it all before, so they're kind of like less interested in things.
But saying that, it's actually great to go back to London to play it, because now we've been away from it for, you know, a year or 2 years. Then you go back and it's like a hometown show. We've got all our friends live there, and like, we've got family there and everything. So it's like, it was just difficult for us to begin with, but now it's awesome. We go back, I like, just love it. So.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, I love London. And
yeah,
and
yeah.
But it is, this is a great kind of like atmosphere to make music in Berlin.
You think that is then kind of the future of Berlin, when everybody has seen every band, that we move into that thing, or it's like another new band? Or do you think that's impossible in that fine city?
Well, I mean, I'd hope not. I mean, I think it's more to do with the mentality of people, is that people judge everything based on what it is as opposed to what they think it is. So,
some people, at least.
Yeah. I mean, I think possibly in 20 years, Berlin might just be full of new technology companies and it's just going to be computer geeks and stuff because that's the way it's going.
Is it really?
Well, maybe
there'll be no music.
Maybe there won't be any rock music left either because everybody's playing that techno thing. Yeah. But yeah, I asked you before, you've been now in Berlin for a while, how are your German skills coming along? Maybe you as well.
Well, to be honest, mine are terrible, so you've asked the wrong man here. I can kind of get away with pleasantries. You know, being polite is an important thing. So I always say please and thank you. My mum taught me that from an early age. But apart from that, you know, not so good on the language front. But I'd really never... I had 2 weeks of German classes when I was 11 years old. And then I stopped. And so I didn't really have any kind of knowledge of the language. And I came here and like Jack and Adam actually used to kind of make me read street signs to have a good laugh. Like if we were bored and we had nothing to do, like, Jim, pronounce that. And I'd be like, good. So, but I've tried as much as I.
In English high schools, you get a choice between German or French. Mm. So, and you make that decision when you're 11, so you get like a 2 week induction to each language, and then if you choose French like Jim did, then you never ever speak the language ever again. So me and Adam studied it sort of a little bit for 5 years, so our vocabulary is okay, but Jim hasn't got a clue.
It's good when you're the lead singer, isn't that the person who has the most contact with the crowd?
Exactly, anyway, yeah.
And then you speak German to them so that they understand you.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, I like to keep the mystery there, so I speak English.
You brought 5 songs with you, additionally to your EP, in a way. Would you like to talk about the songs, say why you picked them?
Yeah.
The first one is Patti Smith with Ask the Angels.
Yeah, that was my choice. That was just because I've just got into collecting records, and it's just kind of a addiction that's kind of grown at the moment. I can't really stop buying them, but I found that in a charity shop for £1, and I just loved it, and I'd never heard the song before, and it was one of those things, you know, you kind of take it out of the sleeve and you put it on, and everything about it is quite a nice process. And then as soon as I put it on, and just I remember my girlfriend like ran down the stairs like, what is this? And it was awesome. Straight away, just like dancing in the living room. So yeah, I wanted to hear it again, basically.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Next one is Deer Hunter with Pensacola.
Yeah, I chose that. That's from the new album. I think it came out a few months ago, but that's one of the tracks on it. It's really good. The album's really, really good. I don't know if you know the band, but the last album was quite highly produced, you know, and really polished. And then for this album, they've gone back to kind of like the really garagey sound. So it's really dirty. It's cool.
Okay. Then the Born Ruffians with Needle.
I think that was Adam's choice. Our bassist chose that. And yeah, that's just an absolute cracking tune. It really kind of gets you hyped.
All right. The Hives with Main Offender.
I think I put that in there maybe last night. This was before Bingo that we sent this list over, and I was kind of wanting to get myself psyched up for the big show, you know. main offenders. That I just every time I listen to the Hives, I kind of like envisage myself as the front man.
They
wish I was that guy.
They keep just releasing really banging tunes as well.
Every single song that the Hives bring out, it's just so good. It's like really good.
They've got a new. The most recent single is just the words for the whole song is just come on, and they just repeat that over and over again, different places, but it just gets you like right in the mood.
Yeah, they're great, and they're really good live as well. Really good live band.
So they've been along for a while now, haven't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, for a long time. Barely Legal, was that the first?
I don't know, I just know that there's in the middle there was something with Empire Hive or something like that, where they called it.
Yeah.
Or something.
Have you ever seen them live?
I don't think so.
This singer's amazing. He's like really overly arrogant, you know, to the crowd, and it's like it works so well. You know, he's like, "We're the Hives, and you're here to see us. You're gonna bow down to us," and everyone's like, "Yes, come on!"
All right. Then there's Art Brut.
Brut
with Arizona Bay.
That's one of our friends' bands, and they've been around for 10 years now, and they've just released a best of album. So that's basically all the singles on one album, and then that's one of them. They wrote 2 new tracks for the compilation album, and that's one of them, and it's really good.
All right, and if you had to pick two songs of your own EP that would have be to be played?
Cherry Coke.
And Come Up and Feel It, yeah. Those two. Okay. Come Up and Feel It and Cherry Coke.
Yeah. They're Come Up and Feel It is the first single or what? I don't know, would you want to call it that? If it has a video and all that?
Yeah, that's the single.
Is there a story behind the song or is it just...
That's actually kind of, that's been around for a little while with us. And I think that was probably the song that formed our sound really, because it's got all the elements that you get from Big Skies. It's got like the kind of aggressive, like punky hit, and it's got the psychedelic nature, and it's got this dreamy vibe. And I think, I remember writing it quite a while ago. And as soon as I kind of had the chorus, it felt good. You know, it felt very catchy.
We actually recorded it about 6 months before we did this recording, and we didn't really nail it. You know, it didn't work. We had it, and it sounded like the song, but it wasn't, just didn't feel quite right. And then when we did this session with our friend, the producer, it really sort of
worked.
Yeah, he's managed to kind of get that the kind of big wide sound, the big kind of, you know, big venue sound. He's managed to get that, but like with this really kind of raw, like, garagey feel almost. Like it's quite punchy and aggressive.
It'd be very easy to make some of the songs, the style overproduced, you know, like with too many effects and lots of synths and overdubs added. But it's a nice sort of reflection of, I mean, it sounds very much like it is live. All of the guitar effects in the solo, Jim does all with pedals manually. It's not any plugins on the computer or anything.
So is the stuff you play live, is it really close to what it is on the EP?
Yeah. I mean,
there's really no
samples or anything. And then Jim and I have a lot of guitar pedals, and we try and create everything live on the stage, you know, so that if you see the band live and then go listen to the record, it's very similar, you know.
You think that's important, or would you like?
For me, I think it's quite important, just because from my experience of. You go when I was younger and like going to my first gigs, and if you really like listen to this band so much on the record, and then I'd go, and I don't know, sometimes it just didn't, if it had been overproduced or had too much, you know, overdubbing and different effects and layers, then there's like an element missing when you go and see them live. And I think like the live performance should always be as powerful, more powerful than, you know, the recording. It should have everything on the recording end. And then the fact that you're seeing them do it live, I think that's the cool thing. I think there's still like that love in like an era of like advanced technologies and different kind of music that you can do, and like samples and pads and backing tracks. I think there's still this love that people have for seeing like the person make the music, you know, on stage and seeing it, how they do it. So like Jack said, that's why we like to try and create everything that we do have like that, like all those sounds, we do it live, and we try and, because then if it kind of doesn't go right or doesn't, all those like things that happen, it adds to the excitement, you know.
Otherwise, it's too reliable. Cherry Coke was the second one, is that the advertisement song?
No. No, but now no. You said it. I do love Cherry Coke. But yeah, Jack?
Well, you name the songs. I'm a bit in the dark on this one. Yeah, I call it Cherry Coke because it kind of represents how I feel. I don't know.
I'll take it from here. That was part of the lyrics. I don't know. It's a great song. It's got a bit of a bluesy undertone. Like we've kind of used these blues scales, but it's quite punky and less. Ambient and dreamy than Come Up and Feel It, so they kind of work well as a pair. It's quite aggressive and fun to play, really, really fun.
So like did you pick the name of the songs out of the songs, or is it
sometimes like the name will come because it's about that, so if it's like that's kind of the subject matter, that could be the name. But then sometimes it's nice to just pick like a nice phrase from the song, you know, that kind of, it's got a sound cool basically. And I think Cherry Coke sounds cool.
I remember seeing an interview with the band editors, and he was talking about how he named songs, and they have a song called Munich, and he just always wanted to call a song Munich because he thought it was a good song title. So the song has nothing to do with that or in any way, but he just called it Munich. So I thought that was kind of cool.
I think that, yeah, similar, I suppose.
You write the songs then, or do you write them all together?
Me and Jack both write them, so like it depends. Generally, we'll... yeah, we kind of write separately now, but we still do a bit together. But it's like, it'll generally come from one place, you know, like Jack will have an idea and record it on his computer, and then it'll be like the basic, you know, the song. And then it kind of grows when we take it to rehearsal, and it's the same that happens with me. So like, I'll have the lyrics or the melody and the chord structures and maybe some other guitar work, but then it kind of just all develops as soon as you get into the rehearsal room from there.
So do songs still completely change after you've like,
or do they stay? I think they generally like have a vision, you know. If you've written something, you have an idea of what you want it to be, and you have that in your mind anyway. But it's cool when you take it to the rehearsal room and everyone starts working on it, because it sometimes can, like, you know, mold and like sway into a totally different thing. But there's generally this boundary in which you want it to, you know, a direction in which you want it to go. But it's fun, like, especially going to the rehearsal room. And then you see, like, we've written loads of songs, and a lot of songs throughout the time have kind of just fallen to the wayside because it doesn't quite work. But then you get some that you know are good when you're at home and you've got like the chords and you've got the lyrics, and then you take it, and then like within half an hour, you know, the band, you've all got it together and it's kind of pumping. But
that's cool.
Yeah,
it's the best case scenario, I guess,
right? Yeah, it's just, and then it's interesting also, I like the ones that don't work necessarily, and you have to kind of think about them a bit more, and we record them on our like phones or on like a little device like that, and we'll listen back, and then you're trying to figure out why it's not quite clicking, and that's fun as well, because it, you know, you put the work in, and then when it comes out good, you're happy with it.
Where do you want to go with the whole deal? Is there a goal? Is there a thing that you want to?
Well, I guess we're gonna record the album at the beginning of next year, and then release the album, and then I just want to like see the project, you know, through. Like, I feel that we've written these really good songs and that we're a good live band, so I want to sort of record it, release an album, and then go and play to people, you know, and see what the reception is.
Okay.
But initially I've been really excited and, you know, not surprised, but happy with the reception we've had so far. It's seeming to go down well, so it's given me a lot of confidence for the future. But I mean, really, the big task starts now. We haven't actually recorded the album, you know. So this is nice, and it's a taste, and we have the EP, and we're, you know, playing a few shows. But the big task is January next year, and we just go into the studio for a month. That's, you know, that's going to be the real deal.
And our first tour in September.
Yeah.
As well. So that's,
you're playing in Berlin in the Privat Club.
14th of September at the Privat Club. Yeah, we're playing in Berlin. So. It's gonna be. This is our first time we've taken Big Skies on tour, so we're dead excited. It's gonna be
awesome. First headline shows for just us. So
it's Munich and Cologne and Hamburg as well.
All right, cool, 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 cool.
Yeah.
And yeah. One last thing. If you had to, for legal reasons, whatever reasons, big reasons, completely change your music style, completely change whatever you like, you could not play what you play right now. What would you play?
Gangster rap.
Yeah, I was gonna say like
something like
Snoop Lion or something.
Yeah, just something totally. If we can't play that, then let's just go balls out. Let's go gangster rap.
Just like smoking weed, naked chicks in the video. It doesn't make any sense, but
champagne, diamonds, like limousines, chicks on pogo sticks,
$100 bills.
All right. So if, which I don't think, the album tanks, you know what to do.
Yeah.
And I'll see you then. I'll gladly dance around in your video.
Awesome. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Cool.